Let's now return to 1 Peter and chapter 1. And we could read again verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now in my four talks to you, I want to speak on this subject of holiness or sanctification. I believe it's a very important subject. It's something with which the scriptures deal extensively, and for that reason, it's something we should study. But also, it's something which is under attack today. There's a great emphasis on justification as over against sanctification. Justification, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And people say, you shouldn't worry about sin. If you do this, if you do that, if you do the next thing wrong, don't let it trouble you. Don't let it worry you. God is full of grace. God's grace is amazing. God's grace covers everything. The blood of Christ washes all our sins away. Past, present, future sins are all forgiven. And that's true. Yes, all our sins are forgiven. God's grace is amazing. But it's also true that the scripture says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. There is a place for sanctification as well as for justification. And when you talk to people about the law of God and the duty of keeping God's law, they say, oh, that's legalism. But Christ said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Was Christ a legalist? Legalism, my friends, is the idea that you can save yourself by the covenant of works. Legalism is the idea that you can earn salvation by keeping the commandments. You can't earn salvation by keeping the commandments. We are saved by grace and by grace alone. But, friend, is this not true? That when you are saved by grace, your passion is to keep his commandments. You want to please him because you love him. And we are duty bound to seek to please God and to do that not in the sense of earning salvation, but in the sense of expressing our love for God. So, we have to have a right understanding of our keeping of God's commandments and our duty to be obedient. Also, one of the problems that we are facing today is that there are many people who claim to be Christians, profess to be Christians, have been baptized, are members of evangelical churches and reformed churches, and yet their lifestyle, it's just the same as the unconverted. And you can find many an unconverted person who lives a better life. What is wrong? There's something terribly wrong. We are supposed to be the opposite of the unconverted. We have been called out of darkness into light. You are light. Be light. We once were the children of the devil. We're now to be the children of God. There's no communion between the two. There's no mixing of light and darkness. You're either light or you're darkness. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. And the children of God are very different from the children of the devil. And if you claim to be a Christian and a child of God, you must be very different from the children of the devil. There's an antithesis between holiness and unholiness, between the Christian life and the life of the non-Christian. Once you were dead, and now you're alive. Does it show in your life? Are you the opposite of the unconverted? Or is your life just like the rest? We have been called unto holiness. Well, friends, what is holiness? The holiness of God. God is holy in two senses. First, he's holy in the sense that he's great and majestic and magnificent and exalted and to be feared. The holiness of God is the exaltedness. He is so different, he is so high, he is so lifted up in comparison to us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The temple shook at his presence. There's something awesome about God. So that's one side of holiness, the awesomeness of God. The other side of holiness is the ethical or moral purity of God. You remember how Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, when he saw this vision of the Lord in all his holy majesty, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He felt his own sinfulness and uncleanness, because God is not just exalted, but he is also so pure. And you and I are so sinful. So it refers to these two aspects in God. But when we come, of course, to man, holiness refers especially to moral purity. There's two words used for holiness, particularly in Scripture. The Old Testament Hebrew word, kadosh, and then the Greek word, the New Testament, hagios. Both these words have the basic idea of separation. Separation. The vessels of the temple were holy. They were taken from a secular use and set apart for God's use, and then were holy. The showbread, it was just bread baked, but then it was put upon the table in the temple, and it was holy. And when on the Sabbath day the old showbread was taken away and new bread was placed upon the bread upon that table, the old bread was holy bread to be eaten only by the priests. Places were holy, the holy place in the temple, and then the holy of holies, the inner sanctuary, the holy city, the holy land. Things were holy. The altar, the laver, the lamp, these things were holy. Seasons were holy. Holy days. The Day of Atonement, the Passover, and people were holy. The priests were holy. And indeed, all God's people were a holy people. So the idea is separation. Separation from a common use to God's use. And that idea is present. We are to be separate. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Now this is not so much talking about the ecumenical movement or antagonism towards the ecumenical movement. We know the ecumenical movement is wrong. But these verses are particularly speaking about coming out from the sinful world and being separated unto God. Be God's holy people. Come out and be His. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't get tied up with sinners and with the world and with worldly ways. So separation. Separation is basic to holiness. A second thing that's basic to holiness is obedience. Obedience to God's law. God has given us His law. Verse 14 of this chapter, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Holiness is obedience to God's revealed will. And then the third element is piety. Sometimes that's missed. And people think, well, you can be a good Christian if you believe the things that are in the Bible. You can be a good Christian if you are obedient to the commandments. But there's another element. And that is love for God and delight in God. Prayerfulness. Thankfulness. Getting to know God, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. That I might win Christ, that I might get close to Christ. Entering into a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this idea of piety, of godliness, of living a Christ-centered life. So separation, obedience, and godliness. Are you holy? Are you striving to be holy? Tonight particularly, I wanted to deal with why we should be holy. Why we should be holy. And I hope to give you 14 reasons why we should be holy, drawn from the passage before us. Why should you be holy? Well, first of all, because you claim to be a child of God. Verse 14, as obedient children. What is a Christian? A Christian is a child of God. And if you claim to be a child of God, you should be like your father. My oldest son, Murdo, when people see him, they say, I know who your father is. Because he looks so like me. They look at him and they can see me in him. I'm sure that's true of some of your own children. People look at them and say, oh, we know who your parents are. Now, friends, should it not be so with us? People look at us and they say, ah, we know who your father is. Your heavenly father. You're like him. You should be like him. Yes, we should. I remember as a child, if I would get into trouble, maybe get into trouble at school, it bothered me. It bothered me particularly for this reason. I was afraid I would bring shame upon my father. As obedient children, are you afraid of bringing shame upon your father? Be the children of God. Be like God. Don't bring shame upon the family. Don't bring shame upon particularly your loving father. Be holy because you are a child. At one time, you were children of the devil. By nature, we're all children of the devil. We need to be born again. And we need to be adopted into the family of God. Are you like your father, the devil? If you are, how can you claim to be a Christian? Be holy like your heavenly father. So that's the first reason I would stress. Be holy because you are the children of God. Secondly, be holy because you claim to be converted. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. There was a time past in your life when you followed the former lusts, the old ways, the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There were these days of darkness, days of ignorance, that time when you were dead in trespasses and sins, but now you are risen. Now you are changed. Now you are converted. Well, be converted. Be as converted people. Be different. Be converted. Don't follow your former lusts. Not patterning yourselves upon the old life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Are you new? Are you a new person? New joys, new pleasures, new delights, leaving the old behind. The Christian is somebody who has repented. And if we have repented, what have we done? We have turned away from sin to God. Be different. Be holy. Be those who have repented. Now, what about covenant children? There are many children here tonight, no doubt covenant children, who have grown up in Christian homes, and maybe there's been no dramatic change in your life. Does there have to be a dramatic change? Do you have to wander away and sow your wild oats, as people say, and then be converted dramatically from that wicked way? No, you don't. But there does have to be a living relationship with Christ. And there does have to be a delight in the Lord. You see, it's not enough to be born to Christian parents. It's not enough to be baptized into the church. It's not enough to grow up being taught the things of God. You have to have a personal relationship to God yourself. You have to come to your own personal faith, children, in Christ. You must get to know Him for yourself. You must experience His power, His grace in your life. It's not good enough just to grow up saying, well, I'm just following my parents and I've been baptized. And then one day, well, I believe everything in the Bible, so now I'll become a member of the church. And then everything's fine. But friends, so often we find people grow up in the church like that. They become members of the church. And then one day what happens? Maybe they go astray in immorality. Maybe they get married and then they're committing adultery. Maybe they're going off following drink or drugs or whatever, because they've never had a personal relationship with Christ themselves. And so they think there's nothing in it. It's just following a tradition. No, you need a personal relationship with Christ yourself. And you need to have personal holiness and to know the Lord Jesus Christ in your own life. So I would stress that for you, every one of you. Make sure that you are truly born again, children of God, holy people. A third reason to be holy is because you have been called. Verse 15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. You have been called by the gospel. But you have been called especially by the effectual calling. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now as He who hath called you is holy, so be holy. You have been called to a holy life. You have been called out of darkness. So don't return to the darkness. Walk in the light as He is in the light. The calling of God is addressed to everybody in the world. To you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. There is a call addressed to all. Come unto me. Look unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. But that call must become an effectual call. A call with power, a call that transforms. Now, if you claim to be called, then of course you must be different. In his second epistle, 2 Peter 1 verse 10, Peter says, make your calling and election sure. Now it's interesting the order in which these come. Why does he say calling first and then election? Well, how can you know that you are one of God's elect? God has his elect whom he chose from all eternity. How can you know that you are one of God's elect? The only way you can know that you are one of God's elect is by your effectual calling, by your response to the call of the gospel. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure first that you've been called, that you have been called out of darkness, that you have been changed by the Holy Spirit of God, and then you can say, I know that I have been elected from all eternity. And that before the world was made, God knew me and God loved me and chose me to be one of his own. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're in the elect, otherwise you won't get to heaven. How can you know you're in the elect? Make sure you are called. How can you know you are called? By being a different person from the world around you. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light, by experiencing the regenerating grace of God and seeking then to live as somebody who is called. The evidence of your calling is a holy life. And if you don't live a holy life, how can you claim to be called and elected? Fourthly, verse 15, God is holy, so you ought to be holy. He who hath called you is holy, be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Since God is so holy, we ought to be holy. And if we're not holy, how can we get on with God? There's no communion between light and darkness. There's no communion between Christ and the devil. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. God is holy. Be ye holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You'll never get to heaven. No holiness, no heaven. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Why be holy? Because God is holy. And if you are going to spend your eternity with God, you have to be holy. Fifthly, verse 17, you are praying to a holy God. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You pray to God, and prayer is vital to the Christian life. It's essential for us to breathe, to live. And it's essential for us as Christians to pray, to live. How can you be converted without prayer? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you never call upon the name of the Lord, you'll never be saved. And the evidence that Saul of Tarsus was a true born-again Christian was this. Behold, he prayeth. Before that, he said his prayers, Now he prays. He really prays. He calls upon the Father. So if you're going to pray to a holy God, you need to be holy. Remember Isaiah 59 verse 1. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear grown heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Why is God not hearing your prayers? Because there's a barrier between you and God, the barrier of your sin. If you are going to call on God, if you're going to pray to God, you must be holy. Who is the man that shall ascend into the hill of God? Or who within his holy place shall have a firm abode? Who can draw near to God? The first psalm that we sang. Whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure. And unto vanity who hath not lifted up his soul, nor sworn deceitfully. You must be holy to draw near to God. You must be holy in order to pray. Verse 17 then, praying to a holy God, you must be holy. Remember, God hates hypocrisy. It's no use coming to God and saying, Lord, I want you to make me holy. And then you don't love holiness. It's no use saying to God, I love you. And I trust in you. If you are following the love of the world and the ways of the world. It's no use praying to God with the mouth when your heart is far from him. God hates hypocrisy. He hates public devotion and private sin. Doesn't go. Public devotion and secret sin. Praying to a holy God. And then verse 17:2, you must be holy because God is judge. If he call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. God judgeth. God will judge at the end of the day. The end of this world, there will be a judgment day. The great white throne will be set up, and all mankind will be gathered together. Every person who has ever lived will be there. You'll be there and I'll be there. And the great judge will stand upon that throne. And he will say to some, come ye blessed. And to others, depart ye cursed. You will be there and I will be there. And what will be said to you? Remember, you shall be judged according to your works, according to your life. And that works and life are what shows that your faith is genuine. But here, it's the present tense that is used. Who without respect of persons judgeth. He is judging each one of us. Those who, Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices, were they greater sinners than others? Jesus says, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, were they greater sinners than others? Nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Why is there tragedy in the world? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there pain? Why is there cancer? Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The wrath of God is revealed, present tense, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God, who hold it back, who restrain it in unrighteousness. Remember, our God is judging. He's judging some pouring out his wrath and judgment upon them to their destruction. But he's also judging the Lord's people. And if you're one of the Lord's children, you will suffer what is called chastisement. And chastisement is very, very painful. Parents who love their children will smack their children, will discipline their children, will correct them. And no child likes to be smacked. But God knows how to smack us and how to hurt us. And it's necessary for us to be hurt, to learn the sins that are in our lives, to turn us away from them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. How foolish is that health and wealth gospel that so many preach, that takes no account of the holiness of God and says, become a Christian and all your problems will be solved and you'll have a wonderful, easy life of it. It's so unbiblical. Jesus said, in this world you shall have health and wealth. No, in this world you shall have tribulation. Tribulation. Rejoice in tribulation, because tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Yes, we need chastening, but chastening is painful, and for that reason, it's very important for us not to bring God's chastening wrath upon ourselves, to make sure that we walk with God. And when he does chasten us, to respond immediately in repentance and not to bring further chastisement upon ourselves. So be holy, because God is judging. God is judging. Seventhly, verse 17, be holy, because you are sojourners. Sojourners. If ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Is this world your home? Are you essentially American citizens? No. You are citizens of heaven. You're only sojourning here. You're only passing through. You're exiles from another country. You're aliens in this land. Be sojourners. Remember, heaven is your home. That's your country. That's where essentially you belong to. Be strangers in this world. Be sojourners in this world. Beware when all men speak well of you. Remember Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian and Faithful came to Vanity Fair. And they were going through Vanity Fair with all its enticements and all its pleasures and entertainments. And you remember how Faithful died in Vanity Fair, persecuted. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Beware when all men speak well of you. Beware if you're getting on well with the world. Beware if all those at your workplace think well of you. Beware if your neighbors think well of you. And if you can get on well with the unconverted, and you're very chummy with the ungodly. In this world you shall have tribulation. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. they that will live godly. And if you don't suffer persecution, you've got to ask yourself, am I living godly in this world? You're a sojourner. You belong to heaven. You're just, as it were, living out of a case in this world. Eighthly, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, you have been redeemed. At one time you were the devil's slaves, but you've been emancipated. You've been redeemed. You've been set free. A price was paid. Your freedom was bought. Don't be foolish going back to slavery. Don't be like the Israelites in the wilderness, lusting after the flesh pots of Egypt. You have been set free. Be redeemed people. Be people who are free. Free to live for God. Don't be the slaves of the devil and the slaves of the world and the slaves of the flesh. Be God's free people living for Him. Redeemed. And again, verse 19, notice the high price. Another reason why we should be holy. The high price that was paid for our redemption. You were not redeemed with silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You weren't redeemed, you weren't saved. Your freedom wasn't bought with silver and gold. No, the whole world full of it couldn't buy it for you. The multimillionaire giving his billions to the church will not save a soul. Though I give all my goods to the poor and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Have not love for God, it profiteth me nothing. You have been redeemed with a high price. Think about it. Think about what Christ had to pay so that you would be a holy person in heaven. So that you would be a holy person in this world. He had to pay His precious blood. Think of your sins as that which nailed Christ to the cross. Think of your pet idols, your lusts, your pornography that you watch on the internet as that which nailed Christ to the cross. What a high price was paid to deliver us from our sins and from all our filth. Christ humiliated, suffering, agonizing, the wrath and curse of God upon Him, crying out in His misery, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And why was He forsaken? For your sins and mine. How we should hate sin. The sin which nailed Him to the cross. Tenthly, you have been foreordained to be holy. We see this in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ was foreordained, and what was He foreordained to be? He was foreordained to be the Savior of sinners. And you and I were foreordained in Christ, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Look at verse 2 of this chapter. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience on the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. chosen, elected to be holy, foreordained to be holy, predestinated not just to be saved, to be forgiven, but to be holy and to be the children of God. This is His great plan for your life. Should you not be striving to see that God's great plan for your life is worked out? You have been chosen to be holy. Be holy. Moving on, again, verse 21. Be holy because you are believers, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You believe in God who resurrected Christ. Faith without works is dead. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then let your faith show itself in your life. Faith is not some bare belief that Christ died and rose again. Faith is that which is in us, working in us. It involves repentance. Faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. You are believers. Let your faith show itself in your works, because faith without works is dead. It's just the faith that the devils have that will save nobody. You are believers. Believe and be holy. And then verse 22, 12thly, the work of the Spirit. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Through the Spirit, purify your souls. The Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit called the Holy Spirit? Is it because He's holier than God the Father? Or because He's holier than God the Son? No. Why is He called the Holy Spirit? Because His great work is to make people holy. His great work is sanctification. And the Holy Spirit was given to us to make us holy. We have the Holy Spirit. And you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. What is a Christian? A Christian is somebody who has been regenerated. A Christian is somebody into whose heart the Holy Spirit has come. And if any man, Romans 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a carnal Christian. You're no Christian at all. You need the Holy Spirit, otherwise you're not a Christian. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, what is He doing? He's making you holy. Why be holy? Because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when He is in somebody, is making them holy. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, because you are born again, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The new birth is a huge change. The first birth was a great change. So is the new birth. It is a new creation. It's a massive transformation. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Be new. Be different. Leave the past behind you. Be one that is born again. Born from above. Be holy because you're born again. And finally, be holy because all flesh is grass. Verse 24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. All flesh is grass. What are we? Grass. Grass, and over it the wind doth pass, and it away is gone, and of the place where once it was, it shall no more be known. The hot wind from the desert blows over the grass, and it's gone. Cut down at even doth fade. Grass. What is the life of grass? It's so uncertain, it's so short, it's so brief. All flesh is as grass. Remember the great eternity before you. The uncertainty of life. Prepare to meet your God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. All around us we see death at work. Would you be ashamed to die tonight and to stand in the presence of God the way you are living your life at present? Would you be ashamed to stand before the judge? The things you've been doing this past week, the things you've been saying, the things you've been thinking. All flesh is as grass. Be holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Lay up for yourselves not treasures upon earth, but treasures in heaven. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't even started on the road of holiness. You must first be converted. Turn to the Lord with all your heart. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Turn to the Lord and be saved. Begin on the road of holiness and look forward to a heaven of holiness. And remember this, the holy life. It's the best life. The holy life is the happiest life. Holiness and happiness go together. Sin and misery go together. The devil says, lust, so exciting. It'll be so enjoyable. And you take it, and it brings shame and misery into your life. The wages of sin is death. But holiness, the fruit of holiness, is everlasting life. Why be holy? Many reasons. Be ye holy, as your Father in heaven is holy. Let's pray and stand. Gracious and ever blessed God, we pray that thou wouldst give to us an awareness of what holiness is, an awareness of how far short we are coming of what we should be, a desire and a yearning after holiness. And may we strive to be holy as thou art holy. Work in the hearts of each one of us. And we pray that on the great day we will be found in Christ. But we pray that it would not be left to some long future date before we come to Christ and to holiness. But that even this very night we would come to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. To save us not just from the consequences of sin, but to save us from sin itself. Lord, save us from our sins. 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 Save us from our sins.